Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timmeri from the Relevant Radio app. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri on Relevant Radio.
There's nothing like looking at something through the lens of our Catholic faith. And one way to do that is to look at finances through our Catholic faith. Now, don't worry, I'm not here today to talk to you about tithing. I'm coming here with solutions. Joining me today on Trending in just a moment will be Jonathan and Amanda Texera from WalletWin. They're Catholic financial coaches, and we're going to touch on, one, how to adopt a baby on a budget, and does motherhood have to break the bank? Two very legitimate topics surrounding being open to life, the challenge of infertility, desiring more children, or maybe you're trying to help. You want to adopt a baby, but the cost of it is so much. I've had a couple run-ins with people recently who have adopted children, and they said, we were able to do it even in the face of our family's financial situation of often meager means, and we're able to help and welcome new life into the family. So we'll dive into that in just a little bit, and I'd love to hear from you. I teased this out last week because I had seen a study, and I hadn't had much time to think about it, but I spent some time over the weekend, and that is the Survey Center on American Life has come up with some data pointing to the fact for the first time, more women than men are leaving the church in unprecedented numbers. Why do you think Gen Z women are leaving the church in this way? It's specifically Gen Z. Historically, it's been baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y. It was predominantly men. Now, the pendulum has swung. Fewer men than ever before are leaving. And not only are more women leaving, but more women than men. So I'd love to hear if you have a thought on this. We posted this on social media. If you want to share some thoughts there as well, we'll be posting them. You can follow me at Timmeri. Timmeri. But joining me now are Jonathan and Amanda Texera. Now, their little baby made a guest appearance just a few weeks ago here on the show after they'd recently adopted a baby. And I would love to hear what's happening in your world and a little bit about your story and how you guys came to adoption. Welcome to Trending.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be back.
So where did this all start? I hadn't known anything about your guys' journey toward adopting a baby. And when you were with me just a month or so ago, you shared, we have a new baby. So tell me a little bit about how you guys came to adoption.
Yeah, so our story began when we got married back in October of 2011. And I had some particular health challenges that had already required some different surgeries. And I figured that we were going to have an uphill battle in growing our family. And it seemed like we were probably going to deal with permanent infertility. And so we started the adoption process. Other people might have thought we were crazy, but we started it when we were married only 2 years. It seemed like that was the path that the Lord was calling us to grow our family and be open to life. And so in around 2.5 years being married is when we, through Facebook of all places, met our daughter's our oldest daughter's birth family. And, you know, she came into our life a few months after that in November of 2014. And then again, there was kind of a miraculous whirlwind of circumstances that happened again in the fall of 2016. And we welcomed our second daughter. And then again, there were a unique set of circumstances about a year and a half after that. And in the fall of 2018, we were able to welcome our third daughter. And then we had a 5-year gap there. And then finally, Mr. James, our newborn son, he came into our lives in March as quite the surprise. So now we have 4 kids through the miracle of adoption.
Wow, what a testament to the challenge today of infertility and the fear and anxiety that can be there. And I know this is a whole nother topic in and of itself with regard to infertility, but I do hear from a lot of my peers who are sitting here saying, we're struggling to have children, but the cost of adoption almost makes adoption unthinkable, like something that I wouldn't even fathom, or they're afraid of just the way parents are vetted out today, if sometimes they have traditional worldviews, pro-marriage, pro-male and female. Before we dive into the financial side of it, just a little maybe glimpse into that process and courage in the face of holding to strong Catholic worldviews.
Yeah, each time our situation has been a little bit different. I'd say with James, most recently, maybe we went through the, I guess what you'd say, like the more common route of, you know, we found an agency to work with. We prepared our little, our profile, a bunch of pictures and blurbs and stuff about this is like what we like to do. This is how we hang out, all those kind of things. And so as we were putting that together, that was a little bit of a question of, I guess we felt like maybe there was a balance there of, you know, maybe we don't want to go too over the top with, you know, being Catholic, but we do need to put it forth. We do need to put it forward because as the agency has different birth moms, different birth families come to them and are looking to place for adoption, they have their own preferences. And some are going to want, you know, somebody in the same city. Some are going to be fine with people anywhere in the country. Same thing with faith. Some want strong Christian values and others, you know, like, I don't really care who's adopting the kid.
Right. And so in our profile, you know, we made it very apparent that we go to church and that's a huge part of our life and all of our family traditions. And actually, James's birth mom, like that was one of her requests, was she wanted a church going family. And now it's almost a rarity to find that in a couple. And so really it was this beautiful match. And so, you know, I don't think people should hide who they are, but we did make sure to work with a Christian agency because I think that would be an important to find a match with an agency who shared your similar values, that they're going to represent you well, because I do think that could be a problem with particular organizations.
Or if not a necessarily Christian or Catholic organization, one that's totally open and supportive of your faith and how you like to live it.
Mm-hmm. That's Jonathan and Amanda Texera from WalletWin.com. They're Catholic financial coaches. They recently just adopted their fourth baby. And I would love to walk through some of what that process looked like from the financial side. And first, I'm curious, did the financial side ever startle you in the beginning or deter you from looking into adoption?
In the beginning?
So yeah, just as a little brief snapshot here. So every adoption's always carried with it this idea of, you know, it's very expensive. It's an intense process. And it is. When we began the process, we were told the average is usually between $20,000 and $30,000. And that felt like a lot because we were fundraising our income back in the day. But we also, you know, had some other tools at our disposal that made us not be afraid of that. And we can talk more about specifically what those are and how families could utilize those. But inflation happened over the last several years, and that hit the adoption world. So when we stepped up to the plate to do this in 2023, 2024, we were told that we should be prepared for between $50,000 and $70,000.
Wow.
And that felt like this ultimate sticker shock. And that we were a little bit taken aback by it, but we stepped forward in confidence, utilizing, again, some of the strategies we used early on, but then we found kind of a superpower ability to go into it. And we were able to cash flow the entire thing within only a few weeks of adopting our son. And I'd love to break down some of those strategies for families discerning this, because you're right. The number one holdup often is, oh my gosh, financially, like this is never going to happen for us. But at the end of the day, if God's calling us to do something and step out of the boat in faith, He's going to provide the means for us to say yes. And we fully believed that, even though our bank account didn't look like it had a spare $70,000 laying around in it, because it didn't. We knew that the Lord would show up and provide for what we needed when we needed it. And that's exactly what He did. And so, yeah, a couple of these strategies that I'd love to share would be, one, fundraising. That, you know, is something familiar to us because we worked for an organization where we used to fundraise our income. And so you can create tons of unique, fun fundraisers that are not simply just send us some money. You know, you can do that if you're in a pinch. There's organization that we partnered with called LifeSong, where they do matching grants. And sometimes that's easier for couples to utilize because it feels exciting that, you know, other people could partake in this and they could help match a grant that you've gotten. And so we did take advantage of that. But, you know, people host all these fun things. They'll have like a dinner or a bourbon night where people can come and bid on things. It can be a lot of fun doing some of the fundraisers, and it can really give you a lot of really awesome memories. We've talked to a number of friends who've utilized that strategy, and it's just been a tremendous blessing to them, and they've loved it. And then the second strategy that we've used was grants, the grant process. And I don't know if you had anything you wanted to add to that.
I mean, just coming into it this time, that was kind of that extra superpower that we unlocked. In the past, we never had the opportunity, just the way things came together, to apply for grants. And this time, because it was a little bit more of the traditional route of adoption, we had the time in between being home study approved and placing where we could apply for these grants. And I would say we can get into that, some details of that if you would like. But I would just want to make sure we say, as we came through, I think we were shocked and a little scandalized, because as we went through, all these grants that we found were either, most of them were Christian, and then some were just kind of just in general adoption. There was not one Catholic adoption grant organization that we could find.
Wow.
And I think that's a shame, because we are so pro-life and we are, you know, working to end abortion. If that is the case, then we got to open up our homes and our hearts to these kids who need homes. And so part of that is going to be finding and funding these grant programs so families can expand through adoption.
Amen. And I'd like to think, maybe arguably, just being in the pro-life arena for so long, I have seen the pro-life community and the crisis pregnancy centers just come in droves to the assistance in situations such as these with adoption and funding, maybe a little bit more person-to-person like you guys did with your fundraising. Mm-hmm. But that is interesting that you weren't able to find any Catholic grants that assist in adoption. So you guys are walking through, and if you're just joining us, that's Jonathan and Amanda Texera from WalletWin.com. They're Catholic financial coaches, but they recently just adopted their fourth baby, little baby boy James, and they're walking us through how to adopt a baby on a budget, a time when infertility is on the rise and many people are deterred from the cost of adoption. You guys mentioned that often the average adoption is $20,000 to $30,000. If I understood correctly, were you saying that some of yours have ended up being $50,000 to $70,000 for the adoption process?
Yeah, that $20,000 to $30,000 was a figure that we got at the beginning of everything back
10 years ago.
10 years ago, yeah. So nowadays, it's about $50,000 is probably about where you're going to start.
Wow. Okay. So you
when all fees are added up, kind of between the agency and supporting the birth mom, but also the travel, etc.
So, wow. So you're walking us through how to fundraise that, because that's unfathomable, I think, to most people, especially you. We've all discussed that most people today are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, where that would come from is overwhelming. So you guys have used creative fundraising in the past. Mm-hmm. You guys have experience in fundraising. You also mentioned grants. Were there any other ways that you guys used to walk through the fundraising, and how much have you been able to pull from fundraising, that and did it make it a little more palatable for you as a family?
One of the other strategies, I guess you'd say, one of the other tools that we utilized this time, and I think is maybe unaware, a lot of folks are unaware of it, there's organizations that do 0% loans for adoption, which I think is a very kind of, I don't know, biblical Christian model of lending money. We talk about, you know, you lend and then like you just get it back. They're not trying to make any money off of this with all the, you know, administration costs and all that. They're probably losing a little bit of money doing this for folks, but it allows families to kind of pull some of that money in from their future into the present through a loan and do it without any sort of penalty.
Yeah. And a lot of these companies, they exist because they know that when an adoption situation comes up, you need the money right now. And so they're there to help you bridge the gap. But then they don't expect that you're just going to be on the hook for this for because they know that's a tremendous burden. And so they'll encourage you to go and apply for the grants, and you can win the grants even after you have adopted. And then you can pay down that 0% loan quickly. And then there's also the adoption tax credit, which is, it fluctuates. It's somewhere between $13,000 and $14,000 right now. So if you owe that much in taxes, you get that back as a refund. It could take families a couple of years because some people don't, you have to be a fairly high income earner to have to owe that in taxes after you take into account, you know, the general tax breaks that people will get with kids and family life. But that is also a help as well. So at the end of the day, I think for most people, it could come together in that they don't have to put that much money out of pocket, truly, mm-hmm. if they utilize some of these other strategies. And I know that it can just, it looks like a giant, it is a giant number that could make people feel like they want to panic eat, you know, in the closet. But really, it's so doable. I could not fathom that, you know, we pulled this off in a few weeks using these strategies without it really hurting our family's savings. And so that was
just a few
miracle.
Weeks. Okay, so tell me just a little bit briefly if we can. So it sounds like you guys have listed off all of those financial strategies for adopting a baby on a budget. Could you briefly walk us through what that looked like for you with baby James?
Sure. And just real quick, the other strategy is maybe the one that comes to mind the easiest, which is just some savings. It's one of these things, you know, maybe we don't drive as new a car as we would like, but it's certainly as full. It's as full as we would like right now. So that's you know, where some of our money is going. So certainly savings is another strategy where you build up some money over time for this. But for James, golly, it was, when did we start kind of thinking now's the time?
Last August 2023 is when we were home study approved. And we at that point had set aside several thousand dollars just to get the process going, because you do need a little bit of cash up front. And we were starting to just save minimally every single month, knowing that this would kind of come eventually, but we didn't know when. And so by the time we actually got to finding out about James, I had applied for 23 grants. I made it my part-time job last fall. And we also had won a matching grant with LifeSong. And so when we found out about him, we were able to share that. And so between the matching grant and the amount we were able to fundraise, I want to say about $15,000 came together just through that alone very quickly, because people are so excited. You're right, Timmery, when you mentioned that the Catholic community is excited and that they are supporting adoptions. Mm-hmm. They're doing it in droves. We just don't have official avenues. And so, you know what, everybody look out. The Tixeras will probably found something in the next few years for this, because we want to see Catholic families be able to utilize more grants. And so we were able to utilize that. And then we emailed all of these 23 grants that we'd applied for. And as they found out that we were matched, they automatically prioritize you and will go to their boards and whatnot. And they'll make a vote and a decision and get back to you fairly quickly because they know it's time sensitive. But then we also utilize the 0% loans that we qualified for. So between those three things, somehow the Texeras had $50,000 within a week, and our bank account did not have that.
And it goes I to tell speak you. To the great gift of that age-old adage that when every child is born, the child comes with a loaf of bread under their arm. That God really Amen. Does provide blessings in abundance when new children come. I was just talking to my sister about that. She's in a huge transition. Her husband's coming out of the Navy. They have a new baby coming, three in a very short period of time. And, you know, there's just so much change, and there can be concern when welcoming a new human into the world. And so there is that blessing, and it's wonderful to see that it's not, remembering that it's not just when you're the birth parents, you're the ones having the baby. The blessing was you as a family, the Texeras, but also the blessings that God provides in helping to bring this baby into your family as well. Jonathan, Amanda, it's been a joy to talk to you. They're Jonathan and Amanda Texera from WalletWin.com, Catholic financial coaches. And while we're on the topic of being pro-family and pro-life and open to life, we're going to come back to the topic of whether or not motherhood, being parents, has to break the bank. Whether you're trying to be open to life and have more children, and that can be a challenge in the world we live in, the economy, or maybe you're struggling because you want to be home with your kids and it's hard to make that balance. So if you have a question for the Texeras, the number is 888-914-9149. We'll be right back here on Trending.
What's Trending. Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
A little later on, we'll dive into a recent survey on American Life. The Survey Center on American Life produced a study showing that more Gen Z women than in past generations are leaving the church in unprecedented numbers. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We discussed a little bit, kind of getting people's thoughts on this last week, and I'm ready to dive in because last week I was kind of just spending some time sitting with it. So if you have a thought, if you have a kid who's in Gen Z, the phone number is 888-914-9149. We'll be taking that up in just a little bit. It's our toll-free line sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance. Joining me now is Jonathan and Amanda Texera from WalletWin.com. They're Catholic financial coaches, and if you missed it, if you're considering adoption or maybe have been deterred away from it because of the cost, they just shared how they welcomed their fourth baby into their home recently through adoption and how you can adopt a baby on a budget. Really great advice at a time when infertility is on the rise and we're trying to navigate how to be open to life as Catholics to not just grow our families, but to help those children who desperately need a home and a Catholic home as well. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Here's the next topic. Does motherhood have to break the bank? I encounter it every day. Couples who are delaying or even avoiding having children because the cost of being parents, whether it's the fact that you can't fit three car seats or truthfully even two car seats comfortably in a back seat today without taking up the entire row, or it could be that you want to be home with your kids. And you feel pulled in too many directions. Women feel this tug and pull in many directions today. And it's challenging often for women to open their home to more children when they feel like they're having a hard time meeting the needs of their kids. I know a lot of women where the deepest longing is to be a stay-at-home mom. I have a friend, and she would tell me over and over again about her 10-year plan of how she was eventually going to be able to be home with her kids. And how her and her husband had planned it out, and they started having babies. So by the time her eldest was about 14 years old, she'd be able to be home full time. The younger one would be 7, and they were getting ready to have their next baby. And just the challenges surrounding that tug and pull. I think a lot of women think that it's not even fathomable to consider everything from being a full-time mom at home to homeschooling. And so we're here to discuss motherhood and how it doesn't have to break the bank with Jonathan and Amanda Texera from WalletWin.com, Catholic financial coaches. Welcome back to the show. Where do you begin when you encounter someone, especially as financial coaches and Catholics who are trying to be open to life or who are maybe just outright afraid with the issue of finances and motherhood?
This is such a hot topic. And you summed it up beautifully with just the challenges that are there. And I want to acknowledge that, you know, they are real. We are in kind of unprecedented financial times. And
yes,
a lot of people have felt the crunch, and it's just, it's gotten really expensive just to kind of live a very basic life in many places. So I don't want to undermine people's concerns or fears, but we also, we're called by God to step into our vocations with confidence. And of course, He asks us to use prudence and discernment, but there's also this ability of just trusting that He's going to take care of the details and using our reason and intellect to kind of figure out with Him how we could kind of back into the things, reverse engineer, if you will, into the things that He's calling us to. So if He's calling us to be open to life, to grow our family, if He's calling us to stay home with our kids, if He's inviting us to homeschool and consider that, there's always a way to re-back into the equation to allow his will to be prioritized. And I want people to start with that as what they try to figure out, instead of just sitting there saying, how can I just beat more money out of my bank account? Because sometimes that's never going to happen. You have to come up with, at times, a very creative solution to the things that are currently causing you stress and problems.
And it is always very specific. It might just be a car. It might be, I want to send my kids to private school, but how is that fathomable on two incomes versus one? Or how is that fathomable if we have one more child? I remember a friend of mine a couple of years ago was pregnant with her third. And her husband's response was to walk into his office, take out his calculator, and start calculating the numbers and the costs and the plan. And he was busy scribbling and writing notes. And her jaw just dropped. Like, she was here in this moment sharing her news. And that was his response. And it was so challenging for her. And I remember, and this is just kind of the details and reality of life, they ended up losing the baby. They actually had a miscarriage. Mm. And it was so hard for her because she had, like, here I am as Catholics. We are open to life. But it can be so difficult when the dollar and cents are the reality that we face today.
Absolutely. There's even a, you know, just a secular financial podcast that I listen to. And one of the ads that's on there a lot is for some, I don't know, investment firm or something. And they're like, we know you have questions. And then one of the ones they say is, can I afford a third kid? And I think that's a big spot for people, especially maybe because, yeah, the car seats start getting really wide and can you squeeze it in and all of that and childcare if you're both working. But I'd say one thing to keep in mind, if we are running the numbers on having kids, is in some ways, the more kids we have, maybe to a there's a place where this will end, but the more kids we have, in a way, the cheaper each kid becomes. You know, it's you don't yes. You can stack them on top of each other, you know, with bunk beds. You don't need an extra room. You know, you can reuse clothes, you know, a good bit of the time. Not every kid ends up, you know, doubling or whatever your grocery bills or your heating bills. Each kid, in a sense, makes each kid cheaper.
Mm-hmm. So that's the good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even insurance at a certain point, once you have a certain number of children, the cost of insurance is the same. And there's so many things where you look at different opportunities, and it is, it's true. And even from just an interpersonal way, I remember my mom always said two was so much easier than one. And even as my parents had four children, like the camaraderie, the interaction, it was more difficult just having one than two. Or yeah,
100%.
Mm-hmm. But what else do you advise people on? Because you mentioned everything from car seats to house and bunk beds. How do you navigate this on a very practical financial level?
One really practical tip is that we use ourselves all the time is thrift stores and consignment sales. Everything mm-hmm. that we have for our kids, like, I mean, really everything in general that we own, the moment you get it home, the moment you open the box, take off the wrapper, et cetera, it's used. So let's just buy it used to begin with. And I don't know where these people are or who their kids are, but their stuff is in such good shape and yeah. ours is just going to get wrecked no matter how new I buy it. So I'm going to save some money, get it used, and then I'm going to allow my kids, they can wear it out. They can break it, whatever it is, because we started from a much lower financial standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we actually have a local consignment sale that happens twice a year that we both sell and volunteer in, and then we shop in. And it goes beyond kids' stuff. It's even household goods and even adult clothing. We buy our kids' birthday presents and their Christmas presents at this sale. And it's, you know, it's helping support our local economy. You know, other families, every purchase we make is going back into their family budget. And so I love it on so many levels. Not only does it save us money, but it blesses others as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guess that most people have a sale like this happening at least twice a year in your local area or within at least 90 minutes of you. And so please take advantage of that. And then another thing that I would say, just from a practical standpoint, and I think that this is more important for the millennial and maybe even the Gen Z moms most, is be careful about the marketing that you're consuming. Don't think people understand what is happening to our brains when it comes to social media nowadays. But then I am so tired of, you know, now as a seasoned mom, I can spot a quality product from a really junky product. And I'm tired of watching, you know, Gen Z influencer moms promote a product that I know is junk, but they're going to get a higher commission when they sell it to you because they're an affiliate. And so people don't understand that reality. And so they're getting baited into these reels and, you know, YouTube reviews, and they really think that this is the best product that I have to have brand new or else I'm going to be a terrible mom. But really, it's just good marketing, and you've bought, and it's just, it's unrealistic to think that we can get the highest, you know, the highest exclusive item on everything for our babies. That's just a fantastic way to have no more money to enjoy your life as a family. And so I want to, you know, speak a little bit of encouragement to be able to put the blinders on. Maybe you pick out a few items that you know you want to get you new and higher quality. And then the rest you're going to look, you're going to be patient on, and you're going to look for the higher quality, gently used ones or on Facebook Marketplace or at a consignment sale. And that's okay. It's totally okay to do that.
I just want to make sure that everyone is hearing this. Like, you, it might come off, and maybe especially if you're in kind of a, you've been getting beat up by this a little bit, you might end up hearing us and you think we're saying, you know what, just like buy a bunch of used stuff. It's all beat up. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you don't need to spend money on your kid. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, I understand you might be really overwhelmed about the financial side of raising your children, but it doesn't have to cost as much as people are letting you think it does. And you don't need to buy all those things. They make you, they want to make you think you have to. It can be a lot more simpler. And when you do it that way, it's probably going to be a higher quality childhood for your family as well.
Yeah, it's funny that you guys are saying so much of this, because I see, you know, things that I've done, things that I've been exposed in my family and others. I see my friends. And one thing, too, that came to mind before I kind of circle back to some of what you guys were sharing. If you're just joining me, that's Jonathan and Amanda Texera from WalletWin.com. They're Catholic financial coaches. They just welcomed their fourth baby via adoption into their home. And we're discussing, does motherhood have to break the bank? How can you be open to life? Are you afraid of the cost of the house, the car seat, the additional child? Whatever it is, are you trying to homeschool, but you think it's unfathomable because you can't go down to one income? Who will homeschool? Or how do you even consider being a stay-at-home mom with the cost of living today? So one other thing that I was thinking of is, how many people just give you back bags of hand-me-down things, even strangers who you hardly even know. And I mean, I'm just thinking of a friend of mine. She has, I think, 7 children now, and she came to my house and gave me a giant bag of a bunch of baby clothes. And she said, I have more than I need. People giving me things all the time. These are pretty much brand new. Please look through the bag. And she's popping out her babies left and right. And so it's just funny to me because people really do give things away very generously, and even some of their favorite things that their children had. And grant, some of it can be very used too. But coming back to everything you said, from utilizing thrift stores and consignment stores, it's funny. I remember when we had moved to the Midwest for a couple of years, and all of my clothes, I had an abundance of clothing for my first daughter, but all of it was California clothes, and my baby shower was at the end of the warm season in California. And so it was really funny going to Michigan, because we had no clothes for cold weather at all, like at all. There was nothing. And so I had mentioned to one of my in-laws, yeah, I'm going to go to the thrift store. And they were just a little shocked. It was a little startling that I was going to buy, you know, all my clothes at the thrift store. Like, oh no, I'll buy clothes. I said, but actually my response was, I'm okay going to the thrift store. Like, I'm not ashamed of it. It's fine. And you don't have to tell people that you go to the thrift store to pick clothes up. But I think it's good to know you can, like you said, buy quality things for your children, whether people know or don't know. It's doable. And these are those little sacrifices that often aren't as big of a sacrifice as you think, when you realize, as you guys said, how little sometimes an additional child can cost.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the, you know, thrift stores and consignment sales and all that, and especially baby clothes. You get so many baby clothes. A lot of that stuff there has been worn once, maybe. So it's in great condition. And I mean, think about it. Do I want my kid to have a blowout in a $20 outfit or a $2 outfit? I'm going with the two.
This is me scrubbing the blowout out. My mom's like, I just threw them away. My mom looks at me and she's like, I just threw it in the trash. I didn't mess with it. I'm like, no, I'm saving the outfit. Probably because I really loved it. My husband's like, nope, Timur, I threw it in the trash can. Don't go digging for it. It's gone. I'm like, okay. But I want to come back to something you said a moment ago, Amanda, about how, especially as millennial and Gen Z women, what we're consuming in terms of our standards for marketing. You mentioned how there's so many influencers pushing product that isn't that great. But I also think as a woman, it is so easy, Amanda, to have my desire stirred for more and more and more. I'm not a window shopper. I haven't been really since I was in high school, in part because I realized it was stirring my heart and just body and mind up, desiring all these beautiful things, things I couldn't afford or didn't need. And so I had to pull back from the exposure to the window shopping, the catalogs, all those things that were encouraging me to long for more than I needed or what I wasn't capable of having. And I think that's really important, especially when you have kind of this culture surrounding being open to life, needing to limit the amount of presents, let's say, you give on a birthday or a holiday such as Christmas. Present standards you set as a family. So if you set the standards of tons and tons of presents, that'll be the expectation. If you change the standard, you wean it down, they're grateful for what they receive and the simplicity of it. And it's really beautiful to see that appreciation that I actually see even more so among my children sometimes than their peers when it comes to gifts.
I love just that ability of the self-awareness there and being able to reflect on that vulnerability. You know, you don't go window shopping anymore, but don't you feel like the windows are coming to you now? You know, in so many ways.
I hide.
Every time you open Instagram or TikTok, it's like, oh my goodness, an onslaught. And I think sometimes even we're homeschoolers, you know, our oldest is going into fourth grade next year. Sometimes, you know, that's where it gets me in the homeschooling world. I'm seeing all these beautifully curated classrooms and it's all, you know, there's some color, but there's a lot of the beiges and all the kids are matching in these organic muslin outfits. And I can feel, you know, a little bit tempted sometimes to be like, oh my goodness, my kids are just running around whatever I got at the thrift store and our books are just shoved into a dresser drawer. But at the end of the day, you know, are they happy? And are we homeschooling in a way that honors God and that builds memories in our families and helps our girls learn? Yes. And so at the end of the day, we're answering God's call in our life in that unique way. And but that self-awareness and being on top of, you know, if I'm being drawn here to do something beyond my means, I need to shut this off. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely had to, you know, cut the scroll time or have Jonathan limit my apps so that I get locked out after a certain amount of time. And I think a lot of women might need to do something similarly just so that they're not being constantly reminded of a life that isn't theirs. But I also want people to know that a lot of times for these influencers, it's not even their life. They took 3 hours to film a video and they cleaned beforehand and they made everything look good, but it wasn't really their everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's very true, that perspective, that comparison culture that can really impact our happiness as women, expectations, what we're looking at, what we desire. I think there's much to be said on this topic. Does motherhood have to break the bank? It doesn't. And I will say generosity also comes in new gifts as well. I know family and friends sometimes just say, what can I get you? I want to get you something. You maybe try to say no. But I think it's also important to see that people generously want to help support your family. They know the expensive costs that comes with having children. You're We've touched on both sides of it. So if you want to learn more about does motherhood have to break the bank, Jonathan and Amanda Texera have great advice on this topic. And you can learn more on Catholic finances and Catholic financial coaching from Jonathan and Amanda Texera at walletwin.com. We're also going to link to some of the other episodes they've done with us here on Trending. We'll post the link on social media as well as on social media. Congratulations again on the new baby. We'll be right back here on Trending.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
the behind the scenes things that you don't see. I'm just going to tell you, a little bit ago, my one-year-old came busting through one of the doors to where I do the show, and bags out of the closet, skeletons out of the closet, whatever you want to say. I do my show in my closet at home. Why do I tell you this? Because that's just the reality of motherhood and where I'm at. But my one-year-old is not just opening doors, but busting through them. So there are two doors that she could come at me through. So I locked one, and then there's like two sets of doors for her to get through the other. She made it through. She was in here hanging out during the show for a little while as I was holding her until my husband realized he had a missing one-year-old and ran up and grabbed her. She's funny. She knows exactly what she's doing. Anyway, have you intentions for the walk to Mary, but can't make the walk coming up in just a couple weeks here? Let Relevant Radio pray with you all 21 miles. Submit your prayer intentions for Father Rocky to carry with him all the way to Champion at relevantradio.com/champion before noon Thursday, May 2nd. That's relevantradio.com/champion. Our Lady of Champion, pray for us. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio. And I just want to touch for a brief moment because this is really important. If you are in the state of California or you know someone who is, currently there's legislation in the Assembly, Assembly Bill 3080, that if passed would make it require that there's age verification on pornographic content, protecting kids. Because the reality is that we are seeing the average age of exposure to pornography is younger and younger. We're seeing varying statistics showing as young as the average age of exposure is at 8 to 12. I was just reading a story of a little boy sharing his testimony, who's now a middle schooler, who had a sexual addiction starting at 6 years old. That's when he was exposed to pornography. There's a cybersecurity company that released data showing that of minors, those under the age of 18, 22% of minors who consume porn are under the age of 10. And 36% of minors who are consuming porn are between the ages of 10 and 14. We've got to protect our kids. This should be a no-brainer. And so if you live in the state of California, let's put our politicians on blast. Let them know and remind them that this matters as the porn companies try to pay them off. So we need a yes vote on AB 3080 in California. That's Assembly Bill 3080. There's a really easy way to contact your assemblymen and women and your senators. So head over to the website we're going to link to. It's from California Family Council. It's easy to call. They give you talking points, helps you to dial the number. It'll maybe take you 3 minutes. And it's really important to see this is a bipartisan bill. People on both sides of the political spectrum, Democrats and Republicans, support it. Don't let our politicians be brainwashed in California. We've seen other states pass this same common sense type of law. Let's make it happen in California. So whether you live here or know someone who does, or perhaps you feel inspired, you don't have to tell them you don't live in California. Contact those who will be voting on this. There's a major vote happening tomorrow, April 30th, on this bill that would protect minors, children, from looking at pornography, requiring these very, very financially well-off companies to get age verification. So let's make it happen. I hope you will contact and call and pray. A big vote's coming up tomorrow. So be sure to check out the link in the episode notes as well as on social media. Let's do some good on this. Okay, in the meantime, I want to discuss, why do you think Gen Z women are leaving the church in unprecedented numbers? Historically, in the past, whether it's the boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, that's the millennial generation, it's always been more men than women. What's interesting is the data is flipping. One, fewer men to begin with are leaving the church, and two, it's more women than men. In fact, 2 out of 5 Gen Zers have no affiliation to a religion today. They're a part of that nuns group. That's a huge percentage. 2 in 5 Gen Zers have no religious affiliation now. They're dropping their faith. Now, who is a part of the Gen Z generation? It's basically those, and it'll be defined a little more clearly in the years to come, but it's basically those born between the age of 1997 and 2010. So that would put them at the age currently of turning 27 or 14 as of this year. So you have kids all the way from high school to those who are under 30 working in the workforce today. Now, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I spent some time over the weekend. I kind of asked you guys your thoughts on this last week, and I've been getting some opinions of people just mentioning the study. And here's the deal. I want to hear and see these conversations happen surrounding why Gen Z is living, because I think a lot of parents need to see this for the next set of kids who are coming up. So head over to my social media. Just follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, or you can email me as well. But let's start this conversation. We put this up on social media. Why do you think Gen Z women are leaving the church? Here are my thoughts. And I think it's very big picture to start with. Why are they leaving? We could give a litany of reasons. The culture, the predominance of sin, the way kids are educated, even often within the Catholic and private schools, especially in the public schools, kids are being educated. Parents think they're being educated one way or assume their safety. They're not. I have a friend, she sent her kids to seemingly a very good Catholic private school. Kids came out on the other side with horrible theology, horrible worldviews, and are completely atheist and pro-abortion. It wasn't just the culture, it was specifically the education. A lot of kids are coming out of broken homes. They don't see mom and dad. Mom and dad aren't around enough because of the detrimental impact of the need for finances. There's a lot that could be discussed. And I think sometimes people think, well, kids will grow, they'll grow up, mom and dad don't have to be involved as much. There are a lot of social scientists coming out and saying psychologists, therapists have not been courageous enough to speak up for years. The data's out there. In fact, we often speak and interview Erica Komazar here on the show, and we're actually going to link to the episodes we've done with Erica because she gives the data on how kids need their parents. Why am I sharing this? Because this is all tied into the identity crisis we're in today. Why are Gen Z women leaving the church in droves, in unprecedented numbers? Well, it's for the same reason that young women are suddenly identifying as transgender, beating to the drum of feminism, rejecting motherhood, the rejection of everything that embodies a Catholic woman. What is Our Lady? A virgin, a mother, chaste, pure. She's the antithesis of what the world accepts today for women. Why are we spending so many hours today discussing, debating, and opposing what is and isn't a man or a woman in our culture? Well, the reason we're debating this is because we haven't seen it shown. Not at home, and unfortunately often not in the church. In other words, it being spoken and shared. So why do I associate all of this? Why are Gen Zers leaving in droves? It's a problem of culture, culture within the home. It's an identity crisis. It's a part of the same identity crisis that's leading boys to say they're girls, and especially in very high numbers, girls to say that they're boys. It's a social contagion. The solution, if you have young children, are to have present parents embracing maleness and femaleness. Nourishing it, the maleness and femaleness, cultivating gifts, nipping in a bud sin and vice, calling kids to virtue, calling us to excellence. This is something we're all called to, and if you have young children, there's much you can still do. But if you have adults, all of these things we can do as well, among one another as peer-to-peer influence. Girls and women who value themselves don't want to be men or to compete with men. But we're not producing and building up a culture of women who value themselves. So what do? We need to embrace Christ. We need to see and show others that by embracing him, by seeing ourselves as completely dependent upon him, we suddenly discover our identity. It affirms the gift of our body. It affirms the fragility. It affirms the strength. It also affirms things such as being able to say when kids are struggling with the development of their body, honey, you're just like mom if it's a little girl. If you have a son, you're just like your dad if you have a little boy. As there's discomfort and uneasiness and awkwardness from voice changes to bodily changes to even the objectification that can begin to occur, especially for girls. We also, and this was really big for me, and I think was a really big turning point for me. When I was struggling, when I was in that middle school to high school season, I was struggling with my peer group, with my friends, and had a season of really being alienated from all of my friendships, very different worldviews. And I remember my mom saying that to be holy is to be set apart. And it was helpful because it was a reminder that there is a legitimacy to the discomfort we are going to face in our culture, to the persecution, to the fact that to live a Catholic faith is countercultural. And not to sit here and be loud and proud in a prideful way, but to joyfully embrace this is the truth. And there will always be opposition because of the devil against the great, glorious resurrection, the life that Christ has to offer us. So we have to embrace strengths and gifts and the nature of the human person, build virtue, take Mary as our mother, conquer sin, and truly adore the Lord. Because I think this is what leads to authentic self-discovery. And it makes me think of the words of St. Catherine of Siena, whose feast day we celebrate today, where she said, if you are who God made you to be, you'll set the world on fire. But that starts with submitting ourselves to the great gift and vision of God's life for us. This is Timory from Trending with Timory. Tuesday, I'm joined by Dr. John Littell discussing the deception there is today in women's healthcare and a physician's advice to women and all who care for them. Also, are you married? Are you a parent? Do you take regular weekly date nights? If not, why? A recent study came out on the power of date nights. We'll dive into why we should make it happen and how to make it happen. Join me daily, 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.